And the Assyrians came for the same reason. They wanted goods. The Assyrians, however, settled in great numbers in the Hittite cities, principally in the city of Nesha, Kultepe, today, which has been excavated. And there, from 1900 to 1750 BC, we see two communities, a native Hittite community right next to an Assyrian community. And the Assyrians brought all sorts of items that the Hittite monarchs living in the native community really were impressed by. One was a drainage system. The Assyrians put in whole drainage, a minor aqueduct system, as you will. Fine tableware. Apparently, early Anatolians had one or two major bowls in which they passed their food around and everyone grabbed. The Assyrians have fine dining, lots of different table settings. So there's different eating habits that you can determine from the pottery. But above all, writing. And the kings came to appreciate writing very quickly. With writing, they could keep records. And they began the process of adapting that cuneiform script to the Hittite language. And with writing, they could keep records, they could collect taxes, they could build states, they could create a bureaucracy, and that was one of the important elements. The other important point in these changes that occurred in this, sometimes known as the Assyrian colonial period, the Hittites, the monarchs of these Hittite kingdoms, apparently were responsible or had an early connection in a technological breakthrough. And that was the horse-drawn light chariot. It is on the plains of Asia Minor and in what is classical Armenia, where the horse was domesticated for the first time as a draft animal and was hitched up to a very complicated light chariot. That is a chariot with spoke wheels, which would require a number of woods to build, and a highly specialized instrument of war. It's light because a strong man could actually lift it up and carry it over his head. And with the light chariot came a better bow, a composite bow. And these chariots were in effect platforms for archers to shoot at infantry masses. And the Hittite princes got a hold of this new technology. And when you took this new military technology with the ability to create bureaucratic states, presto, there's a struggle for power to control the Anatolian plateau, the land of Hatti. And from about 1750 to 1680 BC, there's a series of wars. These wars disrupt the trade connection. In many instances, the Assyrian trading community, which is known as Akkarum, disappears. The Assyrians either went home, we're not sure what their fate was, and we lose their records. But by the time it is over, a single king has emerged and imposed his control over the plateau. He was remembered later as Labarnas I, the first great Hittite emperor, and he would create the first bureaucratic state. It would be his descendants that would impose unity not only on the plateau, but the entire of the peninsula, and it would be he who would lead the peninsula into a literate urban society. And that was based not only on the Anatolian institutions that evolved over the centuries that he could build upon, but also from what was learned from the civilizations of Mesopotamia, particularly the writing system, bureaucratic records, all the technology brought in from the Near East, and another important point that he learned from the Assyrian merchants and that all Hittite kings would remember. They also figured out that the very trade routes that led those merchants and traders and colonists into Asia Minor could also be traveled in reverse and carry Hittite armies out of the plateau, across the great mountain ranges, into the Near East, so that the Hittite kings themselves could conquer and master those cities, which must have seemed to the early Anatolian peoples as fabulous places, the center of resources and finished products beyond imagination. And so in 1680 BC, with the emergence of the Hittite Empire, a new chapter begins, and that will be the subject of our next lecture, The Great Civilization of the Hittites.